Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you know, your thought life is foundational when it comes to living the abundant life and even to the quality of your life. You know, every one of us has a pattern of thoughts, a consistent pattern that shape our perspective and even frame our faith and even how we interpret our battles. You know, some of your thoughts come straight from Father God. If you're in the Word, you know what His voice sounds like, and the Holy Spirit will bring just impressions and words of truth, and you just know it's Him because it's accompanied by peace and insight or a revelation that you couldn't have come up with on your own. Some of your other thoughts are planted by the enemy himself, but he'll put them there in first person, making you feel like you came up with that. Some of your thoughts come from the world in which you live and kind of an accumulation of your life experiences. And some of those thoughts really are just from your own flesh, your maybe sinful, selfish tendencies. So since Scripture tells us that we all see as in a glass dimly, I think we can all agree that we can all grow, and we're invited to grow in the renewal of our mind. And that's not a once and done proposition, but an everyday practice to come out of disagreement, come out of agreement with the enemy and into agreement with the Lord Himself. And my guest today talks about the four voices that are competing for our attention. But before I get him on the show, I want to ask you, I always love your engagement. Is there a repetitive thought, if you're honest, and I'm always talking about being raw and honest on the show, that comes to you, you know, just almost instinctively, that you have to bat away like a nasty fly? Is it something like, if people knew you, they really wouldn't love you? Or all people want from you is what you produce for them, or you're on the outside of the circle, or you'll never be enough. What kind of repetitive thought that's not life-giving comes to you time and time again? Would you share with me? I would love to know. Text 877-933-2484. We don't have to live at the mercy of our rogue thought life. So I'm really praying to give you practical help today to just engage in such a way that you start to see your whole life change because you're changing how you think. My guest today says this: until you know how to adjust what's going on in your head, you'll experience ongoing frustration because you can't get a control of your emotions. You'll find yourself going to bed angry, waking in the middle of the night in a panic, getting up in the morning, feeling exhausted, and then blindly repeating the cycle all over again. He further writes, are you tired of feeling confused or overwhelmed by the voices competing for control of your head and heart? If so, you're not alone. These voices can be helpful, frustrating, discouraging, or even dangerous. Patrick Morley joins me today to talk about his book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Your Head. We're going to get him on in just a sec, but a quick announcement. I said this a week before last, I was a little off, but it's next week is our breakthrough week. Every show is designed next week on Susie Larson Live for your breakthrough. We're going to talk about the physiological implications of attitudes and emotions that we hold on to. We're going to talk about the power of forgiveness. It's going to be a breakthrough week, so pray for us and join us. Don't miss a show. I hope you can join us every day. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Widely regarded as a leading authority on men's issues, Patrick Morley has written 22 books and more than 750 articles, all focused on helping men solve their most compelling problems. His books have been translated into numerous languages and printed in 48 countries. He graduated from the University of Central Florida, earned a PhD in management, completed postgraduate studies at Harvard Business School and Oxford University, and graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary. He and his wife live in Winter Park, Florida. They have two married children and five grandchildren. And I will say, though he writes to men, there's so much in this for us as women, too. And I've got a lot of men listening, almost a 50-50 split. But for all of us, I want us leaning in and learning. Patrick, welcome back to the show. It's been way too long.
Thank you, Susie. And greetings, listeners. It's good to be with all of you today as well.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. So we're going to start by just asking, what has the Lord been impressing upon your heart these days?
Well, it's interesting, Susie. So my life verse, because of having migraine headaches since I was a child, and they're much, much better now, but my life verse for over three decades was 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it's very, very long, so nobody can remember it, but I'll just say it. Now, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in their body is done with sin. As a result, they will not spend the rest of their earthly life chasing after evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And so I wrote in the front of my Bible in February 1, 1986, I want to live the rest of my earthly life for the will of God, and made that my life verse. And it's been powerful. My life purpose statement, I want to live the rest of my earthly life for the will of God. I meant it when I said it then. I still do, and that stays the same. But I had this incredible experience on December 8th of last year. I've just been so bruised. My spirit has been so bruised. Why are people so mean? Why are people being so mean? And my original calling that took me from business into ministry was the Lord telling me, I want you to take my message of love to a broken generation. And I think the generation is more broken than ever. And so I have been trying to take that message of love, God's love and forgiveness, grace and mercy. And so I was reading in my 1 year Bible in December on the 8th last year. And I read a verse that many of us have read many times, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. And it says simply, do everything in love. And I just felt like I had about 2 million gigawatts of electricity flow through my body. And I said, oh my gosh, that of course is the answer. Do everything in love. And you know, in literature, listeners, you know, when you're reading in literature and it says, everything, always, everyone does this, everyone, you know, this is always, well, it never actually means everyone or everything or all the time. Except in this particular verse, I think that's exactly actually what Paul did mean. Do everything in love. Like, you know, when you're disciplining your children, when you're angry at another driver, a rude driver who's just pulled in front of you, and you're thinking about how to respond, I think that's actually what Paul really did mean here. Do everything in love. And so anyway, I made that my life verse since December. And the question then, hope I'm not taking too long. I have a dashboard, and on my dashboard, I have 3 gauges. I have the mindset of a son, the mindset of a steward, and then the mindset of a servant. And for the mindset of a son, I put this verse in here, do everything in love. For, you know, God loved his son loved us. And then the question, I have a question for each of these gauges, but the question for this mindset, do everything in love, the question that I'm asking, you know, many times a day, most days, what would love do? What would love do in this situation? And you know what? It's had an impact on me. I'm not as angry as I was before. It's really helped a lot. So that's all. That's a mouthful. But yes.
No, I want to. So I like the gauge idea, the son, the steward, and the servant. So what would love do? And the steward, you know, how can I best steward what God has entrusted to me? And how can I serve like Christ? I think that's really beautiful. You know, I asked at the outset of the show, what is the prevailing thought that's the diminishing thought maybe that's on repeat? And I would love for you to comment on these. This one says, I have to watch feelings of insecurity. And this dear one says, you're not enough in your marriage or work. You know, the enemy is just so ruthless and relentless. And this one I actually can't say verbatim because there's language in it, but it says, you dumb blank, you don't think, you don't eat. Spoken over myself and my 4 younger brothers by our father with every project ever, every weekend of our childhood, naval veteran who became a carpenter. Oh, my word, I'm so sorry. So this was a statement said over you, you dumb blank, you don't think, you don't eat. Spoken over her and her brothers by their father with every project every weekend of their childhood. Oh, my word, I'm so sorry. What do you say, Patrick?
Well, that's a different book, right? And that's actually probably benefits from counseling. And I would not be so bold or arrogant to say that there's a quick answer for that. However, you know, it does get us into talking about the four voices. And so here's the arc of this book in a nutshell. We all know that we have a running conversation with ourselves all day long. We call it self-talk. And we need self-talk. I mean, self-talk is how we fit the different bits and pieces of our lives into some kind of a congruent story. But here's the thing, listeners. You and I, we are not the only voice in the conversation. There are these four other voices that are also in the conversation, constantly exerting themselves to have an influence on what we think, say, and do. All right? So are you ready? Those four voices, you ready for them? They're the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. And our job, our mission is to figure out which voice is speaking at any particular time and then take control of the conversation. So to the woman bombarded with these horrible, demeaning, belittling thoughts, her parents were obviously probably domineering and certainly belittling. The voice that's playing in the head is being fomented, being exacerbated, she's being tortured really by this voice. But then you've got the devil up there who's just fanning that flame. And you know, when you wake up at 2 o'clock and you have a wonderful, pleasant thought, well, about and you're filled with peace and joy, well, what's that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit, right? But most of us, when we wake up at 2 a.m. and the voices start speaking in our head, the tapes that are in our head, it's our voice. You know, we're replaying what was said to us. But then the devil, the enemy, just decides to ratchet that up and then also make all kinds of other suggestions. You know, you're not good enough. You don't really feel like you could ever be worthy to, you know, even be a child of God. Look at, you're never really going to amount to anything anyway. You know, all these different kinds of thoughts. That's a start.
Yep. Let's pause here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take them kind of one by one. But I want to pray for this dear one who had a father who would say such horrible things. I pray, Lord, you bless my dear sister. God, I ask you to heal her and her brother's hearts, God, that those places would not go on lockdown, Lord, but that you'd restore and redeem those parts of their stories. In fact, put mentors in their lives that represent your patient, humble kindness and your grace. And God, the way that you lead us with so much compassion, I pray you'd heal her in the deepest places. And that narrative and that replay would be replaced by, I am my beloved's and he is mine and his banner over me is love. Father, I pray you'd heal every person listening today from the replaying and rehearsed thoughts that have either come from the enemy, come from a person who should have been protective of them, or even come from themselves because they bought into the lie. Bring healing and redemption in Jesus' name. Talking to Patrick Morley today, we've got 7 copies of his book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Your Head. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, we'd love to hear from you as well. We'll be back in a minute. So good. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I think it's so important that we renew our minds not only daily but hourly with the truths of Scripture, because there's so many voices coming at us that are a contrary voice, and you listen long enough, your gut will tie up into knots. You'll lose your peace. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose hope and perspective, and that's why it's so important to tell your soul what's true, to stand on the truth of God's Word. You know, like David, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in the Lord. When we start to almost grab a hold of those thoughts that seems so prevailing, but they're in direct conflict with the Word of God, you pull them down and you align again with what God says about you. I'm talking to Patrick Morley today, and his book is titled The Four Voices, Take taking control of the conversation in your head. And this is what he writes. The four voices in your head are the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. Your job is to figure out which voice is speaking and then take control of the conversation. We so often feel like we're at the mercy of our rogue thought life, but we absolutely are not at the mercy of our thought life. We're in the mercies of God, and we've got to do something about our thought life. We've got 7 copies to give away. If you have a hard time renewing your mind and even identifying where this come from, you might want to take a look at this book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. In one particular chapter, I think the chapter is titled What's Going On Inside Your Head, you use several examples. And this story was a true story of a man that you knew. He was highly respected, businessman, super successful. And in a courageously transparent moment, he says, I don't feel like people care about me, only what I can do for them. And you were shocked by that admission because you wondered, how did you get there to think such a thing based on the context of your life? Did you ever learn how he got to that place?
Yes. In fact, he's one of my, I didn't say this in the book, but he's actually one of my close friends. And we serve on a We serve in the ministry together here, and he's a very successful businessman here in town. And so he's going through what a lot of people go through, and that is that the world is a place that wants you to, the voice of the world, if you will, on the one hand, says that if you want to be if you want your life to have meaning and purpose, then you need to be somebody. You need to be famous, or you need to do something, or you need to make something, or you need to accumulate money, or you need to have a position. As I often tell men, the problem with finding your identity, if you will, in what you do is if what you do is who you are, then what are you? Who are you when you don't do what you do anymore? You know, if to find your identity in these things. And I think that what had happened with my friend was that he just needed some time off, frankly. Just he got burned out trying to build his business. And, you can begin to have a pity party, right? When things, when you're tired and things are not going exactly the way you want them to go, and all of a sudden you feel like everybody, all they want is you to give, gimme, and your life is out of balance and out of whack, and you're not really walking with the Lord in that close, intimate, personal, daily kind of relationship, and you get out of sorts. And so, yeah, that's what happened to him.
It's so good to pay attention to the condition of our soul. We talk about that a lot on the show. And you say that unless we understand how these four voices work, we will have inexplicable mood swings. Say more about that.
Yeah. And so, you know, what's going to happen? You know, you're you've got to adjust what's going on in your head. And if you don't know how to do that, then you're going to have frustration. You're not going to be able to have control of your emotions. I think you said it in a different way earlier, but you know, you're going to go to bed angry. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night. You're going to have all these terrible thoughts, be in a panic. You're going to get up in the morning. You're going to feel exhausted. And then you're going to end up blindly repeating the cycle all over again. And so what I think the problem is, and by the way, people who have read my books, they know that I spend quite a bit of time in my books, maybe 10 or 20% of the time, really trying to help understand what the actual problem is, because listeners, see if this doesn't ring true. If you're trying to solve the wrong problem, you can only succeed by accident, right? So it is important to understand what the problems are. But then ultimately, I like to write solution books. So 80% of my books usually focus on the solution. But we do need to understand the problem here a little bit, right, Susie? And mm-hmm. Of course, when you write your books, you do the same thing. So what we have here is we have three voices, the world, the flesh, and the devil, who are at odds with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the problem is these three voices, they're not polite. They don't raise their hand and wait to be called on. And they don't say, excuse me, Could I say something now? No, instead they just come at you. And in fact, they end up talking all over each other, right? So what I've done in this book is I've said, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to send each of these three voices to their corners, and then we're going to talk about them, and we're going to help our reader understand the differences between these voices and how they can recognize the voice, these different voices, and then, and most importantly, what they can do about it in terms of keeping these voices under control or making the adjustment in our brains. And so I've actually got, throughout the book, I've got 27 different practical ideas that people can use, some of which are just common sense, but practical ideas, all biblical, about how people can take control of these different voices and make the adjustment. So if you, listeners, if you were trying to get to know another person and you were at a dinner party where everybody's talking over each other, you wouldn't really get to know any of those other people, right? If you really wanted to get to know them, you would get them off to the side and you'd have a one-on-one conversation. And so in the book, what I've done is I've invited you to a dinner party with these very raucous voices, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the spirit too, but the world, the flesh, and the devil we're talking about here. And I'm saying, okay, here's a tool you can have to one-on-one understand exactly what is the world. How does the world work? How does the world sound in your head? How can you recognize that voice? And then once you do that, then you know, knowledge is power, right? So then you can make the adjustment. Make sense?
Yeah, isn't the enemy? I mean, I'm maybe hyper spiritualizing, and I don't at all mean to do that, because you have the effect, the culture of the world around us. Then you have the flesh, our sinful tendencies. But I would imagine the enemy is obviously behind those as well. Anything to bait us away from the voice of the Spirit, right?
Yeah. So the Bible does say that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And so now, what do we mean when the Bible says the world? It doesn't mean the whole creation. When the Bible talks about the unregenerate world, the world is talking about that part of the world that's not redeemed, that unredeemed part, the part that is under the I'm going to use the word curse, but maybe a better word can be come up. You can come up with a better word, but the curse of the fall. You know, so we have this fall of Adam and Eve that has affected all of mankind, and it has affected creation too. But here's the thing, listeners. Francis Schaeffer was a very, very influential theologian in the 20th century. He started a thing called Libri, which means
I
shelter.
I gotta stop. Heartbreak. Yep. I'm so sorry. You'll have to finish that thought on the other side. Talking to Patrick Morley. When we come back, he's going to finish that thought. We're going to talk about the first voice, the voice of the world. I want to know from you, friends, just take a wild swing at it. What would the voice of the world sound like? Or maybe you already know. What does the voice of the world sound like in your particular life? Jesus is not enough. You've got to do more, be more. What does that look like and sound like to you? More with Patrick Morley in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. So how actively do you pay attention to your thoughts? Do you have we all have these default patterns of thought that we go to, but how active are you in engaging and discerning? Where did that come from? And is that true? It's so important to be discerning where the sources of our thoughts so that we could be in alignment with the things of God. Talking to Patrick Morley today, he wrote the book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Your Head. And he says the four voices that come at us are the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. And when we start to discern where these are coming from, we can better take control of that conversation so that we're, you know, the Bible says a mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. We've got 7 copies to give away today, 877-933-2484. 7 copies. And also, I asked before the break, what would the voice of the world might sound like to you? And one listener says, the voice of the world might sound like fear. I thought that was really good. And then this one says, when I fail at anything, it takes me forever to get back on my feet. I can't get you're a loser out of my heart and mind and spirit. I just have to stop and pray right now for you. Father, I pray. We take that. I want you to picture it like a power line where the enemy has power to communicate to you into your home. And the Bible talks about reaching up and pulling down any thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so we pull that thing down in Jesus' name. We tear that thing out in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, that, Lord, you became sin who knew no sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I pray blessing and healing and wholeness on this dear one. And I pray that they would start to see a resilience take place in their character where they bounce back and they're willing to take new risks. Lord, we just say thank you that you make all things new. And I pray that they would dare to trust you for a new day and a new way of thinking, of praying, of living, of trusting you, God. You are who you say you are, which means we are who you say we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Patrick. Sometimes we break out in spontaneous prayer on the show. And So let's talk,
beautiful.
If we can, about, thank you, about the voice of the world. What does that sound like?
Yeah. So sometimes the world's the one that's saying you're a loser, right? Mm. I think it'd probably be most helpful for your listeners if I converted to just telling some stories about these things. So when I was just out of college, I knew where I wanted to go to work, or at least I wanted the industry I wanted to be in. And I kind of knew the company I wanted to go to work for. And I was able to get an appointment with the owner, and we met. He said, you know, I really think you have a lot of promise. He said, but the problem is you're too young. You don't have enough gray hair. Nobody's going to listen to you. You'll never make it. Hmm. And so that's interesting, because that's the voice of the world saying you're too young to make a difference. But Susie, I hear men tell me all the time that older men, they're saying, you're expendable. We don't need you anymore. You've served your purpose. You're not wanted here anymore. And so that's the voice of the world saying, you know, you're too old to make a difference. So watch this. The world, the world's voice says you're a loser. It doesn't make any difference if you're young or you're old. You really can't make a difference. But the Bible gives a very different report. So we have Joseph and we have David and we have Jesus. Joseph and David were all extraordinarily successful in their 20s. And reached the zenith of their actual power when they were 30 years of age, as did Jesus, and then on into the 30s. So they had made a tremendous difference as young people. But then you also look in the Bible and you see Sarah, Abraham, Moses, Paul. They all played their best music in the last one third of their lives. And so the world says it doesn't make any difference if you're young or you're old. You can't make a difference. The Bible says it doesn't make any difference if you're young or old. You can always make a difference. So you're not a loser. So that's one way that we hear that we might be a loser is from the voice of the world.
I was just thinking the voice of the world, it talks to, you know, you think about the value on babies, the value of elderly. In other cultures, people would rise up when someone, an elder, would walk in the room. We've diminished and tossed aside our elderly, our babies. You know, you think about that, and it's the strong, and it's this, and it's that, you know, that win the day. But Jesus chooses the weak to shame the strong. So we live in an upside down kingdom, and I think that should really be encouraging to us, because God does his best work through the weak and vulnerable soul who trusts him, you know?
That's so true. That's so true.
All right, let's talk flesh. How about the voice of the flesh? What does that sound like?
All right, so let's stick with I'm a loser or you're a loser. So the flesh also is a synonym for the sinful nature. They're exactly the same thing. Different Bible versions use flesh, sinful nature. And basically, what that is that's that part of our human nature that remains in us after we become a believer. So theologians call this the already, not yet. We are already a child of God. We are not yet part of the glorified kingdom. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, you're in the world. I'm leaving you in the world. You're not of the world. I'm sending you into the world, but you're still in the world. So we're still in the world. The way I illustrate it in the book is we have a large oak tree. We have several large oak trees in our yard. One of them has an invasive vine that keeps growing up the side. It's called a cat's claw. And I keep pulling the cat's claw tendrils off of the oak tree. And why am I doing that? Well, if I don't, the cat's claw is going to go 50 feet up in the air and just consume the tree. Well, so why don't I just dig out the cat's claw by the root? Well, the reason I don't is because it has a bulbous root, and that bulbous root is intertwined with the root of the oak tree. So in order to cut out the bulbous root of the invasive vine, I would also have to cut out the roots of the tree and kill the tree. So in other words, they're intertwined, they grow together. And so that's the way the flesh is with the spirit. The Bible says that the spirit wants what's contrary to the flesh what's contrary to the spirit. Paul himself, who wrote one third of the New Testament, that's astonishing. The Apostle Paul wrote a third of the New Testament, and he himself said, I don't understand what I do. The good things I want to do, I don't do. The bad things I don't want to do, those I keep on doing. And, so he helps us understand that this battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit in us, it's part of the normal Christian experience. So when we hear, okay, you're a loser, it could be that, you have done something that's sinful, and that you are hiding it, or maybe it's a repetitive sinful behavior, and you feel guilt and you feel shame. Sometimes we feel false guilt and false shame. The devil's really good at making us that. But sometimes, there are real reasons why we would feel like that. And then in that case, the solution is to come back to the foot of the cross and humble ourselves and ask Jesus to once again forgive us and let his grace pour over us, and to enter back into a right relationship with him and a right relationship with the Father. But it's also just as likely that that voice, you're a loser, coming from the flesh is from a tape that is part of your past, like you were talking about at the top of the show. And so being able to understand that that's that voice is appealing to your brokenness, and knowing then that gives you the foundation at least to know how to reject it and replace it with the voice of the Holy Spirit.
I think it's so important to pay attention to the fruit that comes out of our thoughts, because you can tell in a moment if the thought weakens you. Even if you are guilty of something and you come to the Lord for mercy and he cleanses you, and the blood speaks a better word, so to speak. So if you and he keeps accusing you and you continue to get tied up in knots, it's time to take a stand, to say, I confess that. I am forgiven. I am not replaying this tape. Well, I want to keep moving here so we can get through these voices. The third voice is the devil, also known as the author of confusion, the tempter of the soul. And you said, here's the bottom line. The devil wants to destroy what God wants to build. So say a word about that one.
Yeah. And so the devil wants to try to convince you that you're a loser as well, by the way. And so one thing, when you hear a voice, and I'm going to get to the devil, but when you do hear a voice, as one of my co-teachers said about the Holy Spirit, he said, if it doesn't sound like the Spirit, guess what? It's not him. So when you hear the voice, you're a loser. Guess what? That's not God. So that's one of these other voices clamoring for your attention. And the way that the devil seems to operate, his only weapon is deceit. He's a deceiver. Sometimes you'll hear someone say, well, the devil made me do it. Not so much. The devil actually can't make you do anything. He doesn't have that kind of power. All he can do is tempt us. And then the Bible says that, when we are tempted, God gives us a way of escape so that we can endure it and overcome it as well. So in the Bible, there are approximately 90 references to Satan or the devil in the Bible. And it's fascinating because a lot of people actually are not convinced that the devil is real. They think he's a social construct of some kind, a figment of our imagination. But Jesus was absolutely convinced that the devil was a real entity. In fact, 1/4 of all the verses in the Bible, listeners, come from the lips of Jesus. Now, so what do we say about the devil? Well, the Bible has two different narratives about the devil. In the first narrative, that's the one where we get to make fun of him because he's kind of like this washed-up angel who has a lot of nicknames. He's kind of like a flea, a tick, and that. You can just sort of flick him off your shoulder if you want to any time. He really doesn't have any real power. In fact, his greatest achievement is probably to have overstated how much influence he does have over you. But the Bible says greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Bible says that Jesus has already defeated the enemy, Satan. And so he's relegated to be kind of like this cussing parrot on your shoulder. And all you have to do is reach over there or turn around over to him and say, you know, shut up. I don't want to listen to you anymore. And so that was what I was going to say. We ran out of time, but I was going to say to the first person that contacted you, when you do hear these voices in your head and you know that they're coming not from God, and you know it's the devil who is exacerbating, fomenting what's been you know the tape that's playing in your head. You just feel like the devil's just taunting you with this thought, these thoughts. You can just tell him, you know, shut up. the sentence I use, I think I heard it from Billy Graham. You know, if you have something, then you don't know exactly where it came from, Susie, just say it came from Billy Graham, and everybody will think it's great, right? but the sentence I say, sometimes, several times a day, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of these 27 strategies I put in the book here. And so the second narrative, though, we do need to take the devil seriously, because the second narrative is he is the CEO of sin. He's a liar, a murderer, a deceiver, all these different terrible things. But even then, listeners, the devil is not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. He's very limited in his power. And you, with the name of Jesus, have more power than Satan under any under any circumstances or in any situation. Make sense?
Yep. The fourth voice is the Holy Spirit. And you said the Spirit brings calm to chaos, comfort to sorrow, peace to strife, clarity to confusion, and power to weakness. Say a word about that before we go to this final break.
Yeah. Well, the voice of the Holy Spirit, I had the funniest thing happen yesterday. I was thinking how peace, okay, that's kind of always been one of my aspirations. And then yesterday I said, you know, I just joy. I want to have joy in my life. And then I said, well, and then there's love. And then I said, oh, love, joy, peace. Oh, that's like the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So really, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so when we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and about half of this book really is about how to cultivate the voice of the Holy Spirit and understand the voice of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing, you know, Susie, a lot of believers have grown up in a tradition where the Holy Spirit is an it, not a he. And so one of the things I really wanted to do here in the book is just help people really understand that the Holy Spirit, you can have just as intimate of a relationship with the Holy Spirit as you do with the Father and the Son. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really such a great treasure. Again, a mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And this is also a good line from your book. The voice of the Spirit will empower you, listen to this, to keep the world on a leash, the flesh on house arrest, and the devil on a terrorist watch list. As we start to discern what voice, what's the source of that voice coming from. We know how to take control of the conversation. Patrick, I want to thank you for the time today. We're going to spend our just remaining few minutes, Angie and I, we're going to pray. We have a lot of people who need prayer today, so we're going to cover them in prayer. But thanks so much for taking the time with us. And friends, we'll leave the drawing open for Patrick's book for a little bit longer yet. Patrick's book is The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Your Head. And he looks at those four voices, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got a specific prayer request, we know a lot is going on in a lot of the lives of our listeners. Send that in as well. And Patrick, thanks for the time today. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Susie, and to all your listeners as well. God bless everyone.
Have a great day. How to let that play out. Man, that's a catchy song. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. I was talking to Patrick Morley today about his book, The Four Voices, Taking Control of the Conversation in Your Head. But Angie, my producer, is coming on the air now, and we are going to spend our last, 7 minutes praying for you. And Angie, before the, I'm going to give that number one more time. Text in your prayer request, 877-933-2484. But just based on some of the texts that came in, there are people who are solid Christ followers who have just deep embedded, lies that still haunt them. And I want you to know, friend, that doesn't mean you're a deficient Christian or a substandard Christian. All of us have these default places that we go when we're tired, when we're overworked, when we're stressed. The enemy knows the inroad and he takes it every time. And so, Angie, I just think as we're waiting for these prayer requests to come in, I wonder if you just want to pray for that person who defaults to self-condemnation. Whenever they're tired, whenever they feel overwhelmed, that's where they go, is you're never enough, you're never going to be enough. Would you pray for that person today?
I would, and I think it's funny that you're asking me to pray that because it's something I struggle with too.
Wow, so, I did not know. No. I promise. I'm not throwing you under the bus. No. I had no idea. She's so efficient. She's a machine. So that isn't that amazing? And I think
he's so sneaky. Yeah.
And the other thing that is amazing to me is it's so often when you're like looking at you, knowing how incredibly capable you are, that is a surprise. But as Patrick was saying in the book, the thing that this one businessman admitted was a surprise to everybody else. And that's the thing is the enemy, as you said, is sneaky. He knows how to get in and lie so it feels true, but then it's a shock to the rest of us, mm-hmm. And that's the case for all of us, I believe. So thank you for being honest about that. I would love for you to pray.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you that you continually remind us who we are in you. And I pray that you would, for the person that feels heavy under condemnation, self-condemnation, that they are judging themselves, are listening to the loud voices that are lies, like our listener who had those lies spoken over her and her siblings every time at every meal. Lord, I Holy Spirit, I pray for breakage of that. I pray for that you would break that voice, that you would, yes, sir, that you would silence that voice, Lord. And I pray that the voice of the Holy Spirit would become louder, that they would, that person that I would recognize quickly that a voice that is condemning me is not your voice, but the voice, right, that is loving me and gently reminding me of ways to draw closer to you, or ways to be more like you, is you, that you have a gentle, firm voice, Lord. So I pray for that person. I pray for myself that we would hear your voice and that we would shut down in the name of Jesus Christ the voice that is condemning, Lord. And I lift this up in, yes, Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray too here in just a moment. But one of the things that I'd read in a couple different places, and it was something God was already speaking to me. So it was just a confirmation. But I've read it in several places, like to discern who your people should be in this next season of life, that God is moving pieces around and he's repositioning people in different roles. And so who your people used to be, and I'm not saying ditch your friends or anything, but I'm just saying, what are the voices that are coming from some of your inner circle? Is it become like a comfortable shoe, or are they calling you up and calling you out? And do they, I mean, do you get a sense of kindness and compassion, but also courage and faith coming from them? Because who you're walking with right now matters so very much. And this dear listener says, what do I hear? Stupid, ugly, worthless words I heard growing up. Oh, Lord, have mercy for the wounds of these dear, dear souls. Okay, there's one more that I wanted to grab. This young man says, I make the same mistakes every day, even when I try hard. And this is the thing, friend, when that is in your head, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if that's in your head, you become more self-aware than God-aware, and you trip up over yourself. Like, this is a really dumb example, but I'll just tell you, there's this joke where my hubby stands over me. Like, if he's just standing there to be near me and I'm typing, I can't spell anymore. And so I elbow him in the gut. I'm like, I can't spell when you're around. And now I really can't spell when he's around. And it's just like so silly, but it is amazing. Like you were talking before the show, Angie, the neural pathways that we form without even realizing it. And so, Lord, I pray for everybody. I pray for this dear brother and for the one who grew up hearing such horrid, lying, filthy things they never should have heard. I just see these as roots down in their soil. Would you uproot them like the gentle, loving gardener that you are? And we break the power of those lies in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'd till over that soil, that you'd water it with your word, and that you'd plant fresh seeds of faith, like Angie was talking about, that they're loved, that they're called, that they're chosen, that you're the one, God, who makes them capable. And I pray for this dear brother who feels like he makes the same mistakes every day, that he would start to see, God, shine a light on the things he does right every day. Shine a light on how you smile at him and you're proud to call him your son. And for that dear woman who heard such horrid things growing up, God, would you surround her with people, with friends, with mentors, even strangers that would look at her with kindness in their eyes, and she would completely know that they're reflecting your heart for her. Lord God, heal every person who's been on the receiving end of damaging, abusive words in Jesus' name. And Angie, this anonymous prayer came in for confidence in the Lord's desire to heal as a group of us contend for the healing of a dear friend and family member. Amen. Would you pray?
I would. Oh, Lord, you are the great physician. You are sovereign over, you created our bodies. You know us down to a cellular level. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come on the person that needs healing, Lord, and that you would scan them from the top of their head to the tips of their toes, yes. And that you would bring healing in their body, that you would bring spirit healing in their soul, Lord, that you would make the shalom, the whole, the healing, the wholeness in their body, Lord, and that you would do it in a way that they would know that it's you that have done it. And I don't know if this person even knows you, Lord, but if they don't, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, Lord, that you would woo them, that you would give the person that texted in and the other family and friends, that you would give them words of encouragement, that you would give them wisdom in what to say and what not to say. And Lord, we pray for you to move, and we pray for you to be glorified through whatever it is that you decide to do in this situation, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. One of the things Angie's prayed for me so faithfully is she calls it the green room prayer, but in the places where I minister that would normally be a joy but are so hard because of the health challenges, I pray this for these ones who have been sick. The things that you normally love to do where the sickness has diminished your capacity, I pray in those places you'd see redemption and restoration, that you'd actually start to be able to enjoy the places and spaces where God has called you, where God uses you. I pray that green room prayer for you, that you would suddenly realize this isn't so hard. Actually, this is enjoyable. And you wouldn't be afraid to enjoy life. And I pray God would restore your health and your soul. And this last one here we can take, this dear one says, I have these old negative voices that say I'm a loser and not good enough. And Lord, we tear those down. They're lies from the pit of hell. And that this dear one is loved by you, made in your image, called, chosen, anointed, and appointed. And I pray that as that she visualizes that thing being uprooted from her soil, God, that she would start to plant seeds of truth in her soil, that and that water them with the word of God. And I pray she'd start to see a harvest break forth in her life, and she would be a living, breathing testimony to others when they start to see the flourishing in her life and they ask her about the hope that's within her, that she will have a testimony to say, let me tell you what God has done. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayer. We love you. We honor you. We give you this day in Jesus' name. Angie, I think we have to do a whole show like this. There's so many friends who need prayer. Thank you for stepping up and stepping in.
Of course. Glad to. Always glad to pray for our listeners.
Ah, me too. We just love and appreciate you so much. We consider it our great honor to walk this journey with you. Pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.